there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of Two Cool Moms. I am Joe Gatto.
Steve Byrne.
Thank you so much for joining us.
This is my new thing. Say Two Cool Moms.
We're here at Two Cool Moms.
Two claps.
Two claps. It's like the cha-cha slide.
Yeah.
I was speaking to Jiggy about it. When I flew into Nashville today, you'll enjoy this. I opened up
Let me be the judge of that.
Okay.
Don't just assume...
You know what? I shouldn't project.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you a story. You let me know how you feel about it at the end. I decided that we started talking about the cha-cha slide on the plane for some stupid reason. And I was like, it's basically an instructional video, and it goes on for about 8 minutes, the song. So I decided to play it as we were walking through the airport from our gate back to the baggage claim. Yeah. And you'd be surprised how people went from annoyance to participation as we were walking. It was bellowing through the things. And then he just tells you two stops this time. And that's it. It's like he runs out of stuff, because if you listen to his voice when he's singing, when it's time to go, he goes, reverse. You can hear like what am I going to say next? And we were saying, how fun must have been for that producer that was in there, and like it'd be so funny if Eminem, like if Kanye West was in the studio right before him recording like Through the Wire, and then he's like, okay, we're done, great man, you really dropped a major flow, as they say in the in the music biz. And then he walks out and the guy comes in, he's like, yeah, here's this beat. He's like, two stomps.
Well, the thing I always thought was funny about that song is that he's, like you said, it's an instructional video.
Yep.
He's telling you exactly what to do on the dance floor. And when you're a DJ and you're performing at the club, there's a bunch of girls, and the song's a hit, you're going to go back to the bedroom with the girls.
Two stops.
Put on your pants.
Take it down real low. Take it to the floor.
Two pumps this time. Three pumps this time.
Everybody clap your cheeks.
And reverse.
That
means your Uber's outside. Go home.
That's it. We're done. Okay.
Wow. I did enjoy it.
That was great. See, I told you. I knew you were
cool moms.
There you go.
You're right. You did it. How are you doing?
I'm great.
You look tan. You look good.
I'm a little tanned. Yeah, I had some outdoor time. I was just in Orlando. I had a little bit outdoorsy times. And you know what? This Sicilian skin soaks up the sun, the olive oil skin.
Yes.
You burn or you... No, you steep burn. But do you burn in the sun?
I don't burn. No, I had sun poisoning once because my folks... I was in Hawaii. And my parents drop me off at the beach. They go, oh, we got to go back to the airport or something and pick somebody up. I go, okay. I was at Hanama Bay snorkeling. Literally, get off a plane from Pittsburgh, and I'm snorkeling. 6 hours I was in the beach, just like snorkeling, going around.
No.
I spent the next 3 days in the hotel room with blisters, sun poisoning, watching a Road Rules marathon for 2 days. just bedridden, like shaking, like, oh, my God. So that was the only time I ever got... burnt, and I was like, okay, yeah, use sunscreen, you idiot.
You know what I find is such the biggest crock of shit from the whole sunscreen industry is the aloe. After you get burnt, they're like, just put aloe on.
I love
and
aloe.
You just be, I love the feel, but you just become a greasy sunburned thing. Like, that's all that does. I don't buy into the aloe as a healing product.
You have to moisturize, though.
For sure.
You have to.
I mean, I'm not an idiot. You want to be amazed? Feel my hands.
Let me feel.
Feel.
For real? You never worked a day in your life.
So,
have you ever had a blue collar? What's the most blue collar job you've ever had?
I was a stock boy.
Where?
I was a stock boy at Party City for 3 years.
You're not hauling shit.
No, dude, during Halloween. I was hoofing candies. I was hoofing some candies.
Oh, yeah.
I was going from the trailer out back in Staten Island. Okay, and I was coming through the dirty back alleys, and I was Jimmy Johnning in the bags of the mixed candies. Yeah,
don't make it seem like that's hard labor.
I was also 16. I was in probably the best shape of my life at 16.
You're hawking candy corn.
I was.
You're selling bags that fell off the truck
in
Staten Island. Yeah,
I told you that about that.
No. Did you really?
Yeah, I used to steal the boxes out of the trailer and sell them at Monsignor Farrell Catholic Boys High School.
Really? Oh, come on, Joe. That's
guilty as charged. That's 30
win.
Years. That's 30 years, right? There's statute of limitations. I'm safe, right?
Does that stuff still happen?
Oh, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Here's the whole
flat
thing.
Flat screens, falling off the truck and all that.
You know what really makes it different? Technology with the ability to track inventory really probably had to put a dent in the illegal businesses.
Yeah.
I think that's probably tough. But
What's the shadiest thing you did in high school?
Well, I was big into sales. I was a salesman. So I used to, at Party City, they actually sold, multi-packs of water guns as little mini water pistols, right?
Yeah.
And I was basically an arms dealer in Monsignor Farrell. I used to sell them in the Link area for $1 each. I stole the bags, and there was 12 in a bag, and I used to sell them for $1 each. And there was 300 boys who went to Monsignor Ferrer High School, and I would sell them for a dollar each, and I probably sold out every time I did. Yeah, it was great. And I used to start these little water wars, and everybody would shoot each other in school.
Yeah. So you're big time.
I'm pretty big time, yeah. I was an arms dealer.
That's so funny.
How about you? You got something?
I just remember, I was thinking about this the other day. I remember stealing a Dick Tracy computer
watch. Yeah, the watch thing? Yeah.
Yeah. When I was in high school, I saw it. I was like, that looks fucking cool. I'm 16. Why would I want a toy? And I was like at a drugstore, like a CVS, and this, I take it, and I'm kind of looking around. They had the angled mirrors at the time. Do you remember? And
all
the
pharmacies. that was surveillance. Yeah,
that was their surveillance. They don't have cameras then, right? Yep. So I'm looking up there, and of course, what I don't realize is that I'm looking at the angle of me, but the register can see another angle. I'm a fucking idiot. But anyways, I got away with it. But I remember this kid staring at me. He must have been six. And he was in the stroller, and his mom's grabbing something, and I take it, and I make eye contact with the kid as I put it under, and then I walk out. And I got away with it, but that was like...
Did you give him a signal, like, you say anything, and it's over, like, kind of thing? You're like, sorry, I broke the six-year-old's neck. I walk by the cart, snap, quiet, sleep.
Your next mom. But that was like the worst... It was like the worst thing.
They had a store, Caldor, which is basically just like a Kmart or like one of those like big box discount stores. It was called a Caldor. And my dad had this thing all the time when my dad was super tall and walked with confidence all the time. And he would always steal hats, mm-hmm. like fedoras. Like he'd put on a fedora when he was in the store, walk around with it, keep it on, and then just walk out with it.
Really?
And that's what he would do. It was like his thing. So I always looked up to him for that. I was like, that's so fun how you do that. I want to be like my dad. So we're in Caldor, and we're walking around, and I stole a CD, mm-hmm. a music CD. I put it down my pants. Will Smith's Parents Just Don't Understand. And I put it in front of my pants because I really wanted the CD. My dad wouldn't buy for it. So we went outside, and we're getting in the car, and I went, Dad, check it out. And he went, what? And he pulled me back and made me put it back. Wow. And the whole time he had a stolen fedora on his head.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. He made me return it.
That's so goddamn funny.
I wasn't, you know, it's so funny. I'm like, you're like, what's the craziest thing you did in high school? It's like, I sold water guns. Like, I was pretty straight and narrow. I wasn't really much of that. But I was a big coordinator of things, I think.
Yeah. coordinated mischief?
Yeah, coordinated mischief. I think people looked to me for the plan, if you will.
What was the biggest plan?
Yeah, I was like the, what was his name?
Hannibal.
Cupcake? Chubrock? What's his name? Hannibal. Chubrock. Give me the forum. Face? Hannibal.
Hannibal
Burris.
Oh my God. And then face. Face.
There was one more. Murdoch. Oh, what was B.A.? B.A. Baracus. Yeah. I love that show. Did you watch that growing up?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Yeah. I remember Thursdays. It was Thursdays, right? My uncle would, when he was staying with us at the time, we would go get cartons of ice cream, whipped cream, sprinkles, like the whole nine, create like an ice cream buffet, and then watch the A-Team together.
What was the main guy's name? The leader?
Hannibal.
The leader was Hannibal? No.
Yeah. Hannibal, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I love when
Hannibal was a crazy. Hannibal was a crazy guy.
No, that's Mad Murdoch.
Mad Murdoch. And then who's Face? Oh, Face.
Was the guy from Battlestar Galactica. Right.
Did you like the reboot of that movie? Did you see that movie?
Don't ever bring it up again.
Okay, I won't. Jessica, I don't want you to hear you say West Oniak. If you have to equate yourself to one of those people, who would you be on that team, do you think?
Well, that's a good question.
I'm going to tell you who I think you are, and we'll say both on the count of three.
Okay, I'll tell you who you are. I know who you are.
Oh, who I am?
Oh, yeah. One, two, three.
Hannibal. Right.
Oh, you think I'm a Hannibal?
No. I was saying
me. I think you're a Hannibal.
I know. I was saying who you thought I was.
Oh, I think you're a Hannibal.
Okay, and I think you're Face. You are. You're charming. You're schmarmy. Look at you.
No, not like Face Man. Face Man was like, I'm a suitable, like in the group of people I hang out with, yes, I'm Face Man, right? But... If you were to put me next to Bradley Cooper or who played,
if you put anybody next to Bradley Cooper, though, let's not talk about that.
But still, there's symmetrically, perfectly aligned faces.
No, I'm not talking about your face. I'm talking about the embodiment.
But his name is Face. It's kind of important to have an awesome face. Yeah, like Christian Ronaldo's face, man. Leonardo DiCaprio's, Brad Pitt's face, man.
Yeah, that's true. Brad Pitt is. Well, Brad Pitt's characters in Ocean's 11 was very much face. But here's the thing for you. I mean, if your qualities, though, you embed the most qualities. I'm like, I think I'm a mix between Hannibal and Murdoch because I'm a little batshit crazy, but I also have
a plan.
You are,
yeah, yeah. But you're a leader.
I'm no BA.
You are a leader.
Yeah.
You like leading the cause.
I do. But I'm no BA. I got no BA skills. I have no strength and or driving ability.
It's kind of like when you play a video game in the 80s, you could choose four guys, and they all have, you know what I mean? 100%. They all had those different qualities, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the bar's filled up. It's like this one has endurance.
Brute strength, yeah. But BA, I remember it was just like every episode, they'd give him something to drink, and then he'd pass out, and then he'd wake up on the plane, like after the flight. It's like... Wouldn't you catch on at even like at 10? I'm like, wouldn't you catch on at this?
No, he doesn't get it.
Yeah, he never got it. Yeah. I love that show. Buck Rogers was one of my favorites.
Never saw.
Do you remember that? No.
Never saw Buck Rogers.
Jared Williams and Linda Gray or Aaron Gray. Oh my God, I did enjoy
Looney Tunes Duck Rogers when Daffy Duck played Buck Rogers, and that was one of my favorite cartoons. We did Duck Rogers in the 34th dimension or whatever he said he was. I love that.
My son just went down a Looney Tunes rabbit hole because on HBO Max they have all the old schools.
Yep.
So he just loves it now. And that's so I great. Put it on, and he is entrenched in all that. And you watch, you're like, wow, this is really... I took it for granted as a kid, and then you get in teenagers, like, we got SpongeBob, we got this stuff. And then you watch, it's like, man, it's fucking hilarious.
It's the writing...
Shut up.
Yeah.
Great.
Hey, you're next. So next. That's my favorite. Me and my kids sing all the songs together. But I remember some of my most vivid memories were definitely laughing around the TV with my older sister, Gina, and my mother and father with Looney Tunes, for sure. And so much so that when I grew up, my affinity for Looney Tunes continued in college when I had... a 18-inch magnetic decal of Bugs Bunny that I slapped on the outside of my car. I was in college, mind you.
You still have
it? I had it on that, and I had it on my turquoise Saturn. I had a Bugs Bunny on one side. I know, it was great, right?
Yeah.
And one on that side, and the other side was Wile E. Coyote, and I thought I was the cat's meow, man.
Were you an assistant manager at Spencer Gifts? Like, who?
That was a dream job.
Oh, back in the day?
Oh, my God.
Do you remember... Do you remember
late 80s Spencers? Early 90s Spencers? Forget it.
I mean, come Christmas time, it's like,
no.
Give me the money. I'll just go in there. And there was a movie. It was like the Sunset Hollywood Company or something like that. And they just sold DVDs and VHSs. Do you remember what I'm talking
100%,
about?
100%. 100%. I know the logo right away. It's a go-to. Thing. It looks like a movie. It looked
a
like a
red
movie
neon.
Thing. Yep. Yep.
That was the greatest store to me. And then came like Virgin Megastore, which had everything.
Yep.
But I forget the name of that store, but they had movie memorabilia, kind of like cool tchotchkes and stuff, and every film you could ever think of. They had all the posters.
100%.
Every mall, it was
I loved
the
it.
Best.
I loved it. You know what store came in hot that people would do a lot of browse not buy was Brookstone. Do you remember Brookstone? Yeah. You'd walk in that store and you'd
still
want
every airport.
Right, you'd want everything, you don't buy anything.
No.
You want everything in the store, you'd never buy anything from it.
And then your lazy friend sits in the massage chair while you're looking at like drone helicopters.
It was only once I sat in the chair, okay? You don't have to bring it up here on the podcast, everybody.
Shall we
let's dive in. We decided to do something a little different this time. We were going to actually,
We're jumping in.
Live. We haven't pre-vetted them. We're like, you know what? Let's do it.
True.
So we're going to jump
in. Normally, I do a little pre-vetting. We're here this week in Nashville because my good man Joe is directing.
My good
How
man
are you feeling?
Steve's. I'm super psyched, buddy. I can't wait for this thing. We're going to tear this thing up.
You're going to
I've been watching some old school Carson. I got some great ideas. It's great.
Oh, I love it, buddy.
I love it.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And you're going to be funny.
I'm going to be funny.
Great.
That's the hope, right?
Yeah, we're filming special. Let's do it.
As soon as I saw this, this jumps out at me.
Okay.
No. Okay. This is from Alec. Again, we're going blind.
A-L-E-C.
A-L-E-C. Nice.
Alec. Yes.
Okay, here we go. I am wanting to get a new pet. This is why I clicked on it. But I can't decide between a hedgehog or a pygmy goat.
Okay, let me tell you about a pygmy goat. And here's the good thing about pygmy goats.
I don't even
know
what a pygmy goat is.
A pygmy goats are small goats. That you could live in the backyard. Okay, I did some research. I was going to get goats.
Seriously.
I was actually going to get both of these things. At one point, I was going to get a hedgehog.
Who gets a hedgehog? Don't they have the fucking...
They run really fast. No, that's porcupines. Hedgehogs are the cute little ones that roll over on their belly.
Oh, shit.
Pet them. They're fun.
So a hedgehog is like a porcupine without the things?
They're like a hamster with a good haircut. That's exactly what they are. They're like a hamster with a good hairdo. They got a hamster with a hairdresser. That's what they are. They went to the salon.
Yeah.
So
hey.
Yeah, they're about you know the size of a hamster. A little bit bigger.
So you could get a hedgehog.
100%. Yeah, they sell them.
Are they like?
They're in a rodent family.
Really?
Yeah. They're playable. They hang out, but they do the same things. A runaway and hamstery kind of deals.
Yeah.
But a pygmy goat. Okay, you want to get sheep instead of goats because goats eat the grass from the root and sheep graze from the top, so the grass will regrow. So if you get goats, you're going to end up with patchy lands. You don't want that. So if I have to go hedgehog, I would talk to you about your acreage, what kind of acreage you have.
Holy shit, I'm glad I clicked this one.
Yeah.
So, but the other goats, they're like cute little...
Have you ever seen a pygmy goat?
I think I like cutest. At a petting zoo, right?
Dude, the cutest things in the world.
Are they like friendly?
Yeah,
like,
they play with dogs. They're really? They're like they're a companion animals to horses a lot of times.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Donkeys too, like smaller horses.
I mean, is the responsibility factor immense? Like as much as a dog?
Pygmy goats way easier than a hedgehog.
Really?
Yeah, pygmy goats eat grass, put them outside. They drink water. You have a bowl for them, and then they're pretty self-sufficient.
But then you got all those fucking...
Hedgehogs, you got to clean the cage and do all that stuff. You'll have pellets and stuff, but it'll be outside. Yeah, pygmy goat in the house, I don't know how you do. That's why it comes back to acreage for me. But I think, yeah, I love me a pygmy goat. I think they're super cute. Your balls going to be blown off when you see a picture of a pygmy goat.
By the way, you'd be proud to know this.
Oh, here we go.
I had a conversation with my wife.
Either way, adopt, don't shop. Go adopt a pygmy goat or a hedgehog. I don't know if you could adopt
always on brand. I love it. I was talking to my wife about a dog, and the Australian Shepherd dog, I think is the one. I keep like looking up, and I saw one up for adoption here in Nolensville, and I was like, oh fuck, I'd love to just go pick it. It was white with blue eyes. And
gorgeous.
I was going to fill out the form. I was like, I can't just go get it. My wife would kill me. So I started talking to her, and she was
right
adamant,
now.
No, absolutely not. And then towards the end, she was kind of like, well, maybe, I don't know. We'd have to really think about it. It's a lot.
I'll go with you right now.
It's a lot, correct?
It is. It's a lot, but it's manageable, especially with
older
children.
But I'm gone
children.
All the time, and that's the thing. She doesn't want one more thing to worry about.
She'll get protected. This dog's going to protect your home, protect your woman. While you're out and about telling yuck-yucks on the road, who's home watching a lady? This puppy. This puppy's there protecting the house, woofing it up, not letting anybody in there. That's what that dog's doing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean,
that's a very intelligent breed. It's not too hard to train. Like, so it's all about training. It's all about teaching the dog how to like respect the house rules and you'll be fine.
Right.
It just takes some work. But once you put the work in it, the work is done. And then you just enjoy the dog.
The last three homes I've been to, the dogs have all walked over to me, sat on my lap or hung out with me. And the third one was the Australian Shepherd, whatever. And then another one was like a hybrid, like a small little kind of like mutt. And the other one was the same thing at a radio station. This dog just hopped up my lap and sat there the whole time. And I was like, this is the coolest ever. And I've always wanted one. I just never.
It also teaches your kids compassion. It's great.
Yeah.
Your kids learn a lot from owning a dog and loving a dog. I highly recommend if it's doable. And I think it's doable. I think you're just making an excuse at this point now. I mean, you've looked at it. You found one you like. All signs are pointing to it.
It's just I'm gone so much, and I don't want to pawn it off on my...
You're not even going to be there. What are you worried about?
I got to get another Lexus?
You just can't. Just upgrade to the newest model. Yeah. You'll be fine. I just can handle it. She's amazing.
She is the best, but so she...
She doesn't want to. Yeah, I get it.
It's just, you know, and then last night I went to do a walk... And it was like 10 o'clock at night.
You were lonely. You wanted a dog with you. See?
No, I come walking out. And my neighbor, Elise, was across the street. And God bless her. She's standing there. And I go, hey, how are you? She goes, I'm just waiting for the dog to do its thing. And I was like, oh, God, you forget about that. You know, you got to go to bed. You got to, I got to walk it before I go to bed. You wake up or the dog wakes you up. And then you got to take it out. I see people walking dogs at 6 or 7 in the morning. I'm like,
not in my house. Not in my house. My dogs are on a sketch.
They know. On your schedule.
You train them.
Yeah.
You train them. My dogs hold their pees and poops for almost 12 to 13 hours.
Come on.
Swear to God.
How many accidents do you have over the course of
The old ones, they're shitting and pissing everywhere. They go where they're going to go. That's part of it.
You're giving them.
But I have like my core six, Napoleon Biscotti, Cannoli, Tartufo, Struffola. Like those guys, they all are just doing their thing according to the schedule.
Sure, yeah.
Like Biscotti doesn't want to go in the rain. Biscotti will hold... Her potties.
Blame it on the rain.
when you're peeing at night. Biscotti will hold it for a day.
Yeah.
She just won't go out in the rain. She'll be like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And she won't have an accident in the house. It's nuts. And then she'll pee for like 2 days when she goes out. But I would say look into it, and I would say get a pygmy goat. Those are my two advices.
I'm going to see if this place still has that Australian
I will come
shepherd,
look at it
and
with
then
you
go I'll with me tomorrow. With you, yeah. We'll see. And then you talk to Jess.
I'll talk to Jess.
All right. All right, here we go. Oh boy, okay. This is a long one. It's coming to us from C-E.
Like CeeLo Green.
But just one E.
So no low. Just C.
Just C. Got yeah. C. Okay. Hi, Joe and Steve. I need help with my own mom. I bought tickets to see a band that I really want to see. It's my favorite band. And she's trying to give me every excuse she can as to why she won't let me go. And they're non-refundable tickets. I should mention I am 21. I live at home. I have no car, so I would have to use her car or my dad's to go to said concert of a couple thousand people. I've been crying over the fact she's told me I'm going to have to bite the bullet on said tickets and not go because she won't let me go. I really need some advice. Please help. I feel really helpless. I don't know what to do. Also, Joe, I've been a fan for over a decade. I love you very much, and thank you for getting me through the very hard times. That's very nice of her.
Love you, C. Here's the thing. Go and Uber.
What's that?
Go and Uber. Problem solved.
My thought is, why not bring your mom to the concert?
Oh, now there's a variable, because my mom probably doesn't like the music. If she liked the music, I think she would have presented that as an issue. I mean, you're 21 years old. You're 21 years old. I mean, yeah. You got to ask your parents' permission or take their blessing for some things. Going to a concert is not on that list for me. If you're talking about picking up and moving cross country and never not seeing them a lot or something big of that nature, I mean, going to a concert is crazy. You already pay for the tickets out of your own pocket. What you're basically she's saying is you can't borrow the car. If you break this down, what she's saying is you can't have the car.
That's right.
So get there on your own. You're 21 years old. Figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. Exactly. Yeah. This is 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You're living under her house.
Her roof, right.
But
you're still all living under her roof and her rules and whatnot. But I mean, this does not seem like a house rule to me. And I'm looking at it from a parent as well. If my kid is 21 years old and I'm allowing them to live in my home and taking care of them, I'd expect that they were doing their own thing, and especially wanting to do something socially, unless it's like a Satan worshiping band and they're conveniently leaving that out.
Yeah.
Where there's going to be like a live goat being pygmy goat's going to get killed on stage.
Right.
Then maybe if it's pygmy and the goats, I don't know if I'd let her go. But if it's not, if not, I mean, what's going on at this concert? I mean, that's what you got to break it down from, right?
Yeah. I am curious. Why would, who's the band? It's got to be.
That's a good follow up question. Who's the band?
Yeah, who's
She's
the
not
band?
Like you can't go see Bruno Mars. Like,
yeah, of course.
Who
yeah.
is this? Who's thrusting the hips all over that? Inviting the devil in to dinner. Who's doing that? That's what it sounds like Mama Bear's thinking about.
If you're 21, you want to go to a concert, your folks say no. Look, if you don't like it, move out.
Yeah, that's also
you're 21.
Another thing, too. Yeah.
Get a job, find some friends, find a home. These are the best years of your life.
Become a roadie for this band.
There you go.
Go to the concert. Say, hey, I need help. I got no place to live now.
Yeah.
Can I be a roadie? And they say,
I love
yes.
you guys this much.
This much. I gave up my home.
Yeah.
It'll work out.
You'd be surprised because...
I'll wait for the follow-up.
The band is probably so glossed and glazed and bombed. They'd be like, yeah, you're going to work for us. Come on. You know?
I mean, I think that's my thing is like find your own way there at 21 years old. Like you should be a little bit more self-sufficient too. Like this is an opportunity to grow up a little bit. So I would say take it and grow from it.
Yeah, 21. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
That's a bit much.
What's the first concert you went to?
Oh, this is embarrassing. The first concert I went to, my father took me to go see Johnny Mathis.
The Christmas guy?
Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
Oh,
yeah, Christmas music.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so.
That's fantastic.
I wish it was cool. My dad loves Johnny Mathis.
That's great, man.
And then years later, I was in first class, and he was in the front row, right in front of me. And I wanted to... I was in first class. Did I mention
that's
that?
That's it.
And I wanted so bad to take a picture with him and go, Dad, my God, look, I got to meet Johnny Mathis. And I just... I never want to be that person that I didn't do it. And it's one of those things I kind of regret. But because of the memory with my dad, I should have done it.
Right, right.
But that was my first show. Yeah, how about you?
It was an eclectic, one of those mixes, like the Jingle Ball concerts.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever, everybody
Who was the
there.
Headliner?
And I think the headliner was, it was late in the game. I hadn't been to concerts in a while. Oh, this is a complete lie. I just remembered I went to see Chicago.
That's a good one.
In an outdoor amphitheater with my friends and girlfriend at the time
You're
in
the
high school.
In my life. You're the inspiration.
Whoa. I thought that I was like, we were laying under the stars just looking up and watching.
Yeah,
like, and I was like, "This is a perfect. This is so romantic and everything. I love it." I was in high school. I think we broke up 3 days later.
those are all slow dance tunes.
Yeah, of course,
you need a girl with those.
And then I went fast forward. I went to see. I went on a Power Six trip. The Power Six is. It was me and Bessie when we were
what
married.
Power Six.
Power Six was me and Bessie when we were married, and my two sisters with their husbands. The six of us would go away. So we went
Power
to
Power Six.
We called the Power Six. We called the Power Six, and you know me, I make things happen. As Hannibal called his team. So we went to Vegas and Chicago was playing and my sister was like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, I got us tickets. We went and we watched and they did the first hour, they played their new album, and we didn't know one song, and we just sat there. And we're like, okay. And they said they took an intermission. They came back, and they crushed and played every song, and it was, like, great. And I was like, we could have just missed the first part, and it would have been fantastic. Yeah. Like, we were literally sitting there, like, it didn't even have the same sound as their stuff. It was just weird. And it was like, you know, you don't know any of it. You need... I like when bands, like, throw in the ones that you know, so you go on the journey together, you know. But that I remember that, and that was my second time seeing Chicago, so... Yeah.
Who is your favorite band then of all time?
Imagine Dragons.
Yeah.
The show they put on. Oh, I took my daughter to the Imagine Dragons concert. Oh my God, it was such an amazing thing to see her face. That was her first concert. To see her face. We gotta go, man. We gotta go. They're our boys. I love them.
Okay.
Yeah, when we go, her face completely lit up. And she went absolutely nuts when she, like, knew the song. She was singing along. She was 6 at the time.
Yeah.
And she was, like, singing and whatever. And I was like, it was such a dad thing to be like, oh, my God, I gave my daughter this experience. And to be there for it is really cool. But actually, her first concert was actually Kobe Calais. She was five months old. And me and Bessie had tickets. Bessie loves Kobe. I love Kobe as well. But she introduced me to her. And I got the tickets. I found out Kobe was a fan. I was like, hey, she's playing at the Pier in New York. You want to go? And we had the Milana, and she's like, I gotta get out of the house. I wanna go. And she put her in a baby Bjorn.
Yeah.
And we went to the concert out on the pier, and awesome. Milana was sitting there, and they had like a VIP area in the back, and I faked my way into it, pretending I was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
The guy didn't know me, and I was like, oh, this is the VIP area. He's like, yeah. I was like, great. And I just went, I was like, oh, the kid. And he's like, okay. We just walked in, and we just sat there because it was far enough away, and Kobe's, slower music and stuff. So it was really, really cool.
I thought it was so funny that the time she came to your show, I think were we doing a Too Cool?
Yeah, we were doing it. Yeah. It was during the National Comedy Festival.
And then we walked out to her
Bubbly.
Big hit, which I thought was so funny. That's and really I was funny. Like, oh, this is kind of cool. I should do this more often and bring out like one of her tunes.
We should have her on this. She should be a cool aunt.
I love it, yeah.
She's in Nashville. Next time through. Next time I come
through. I followed her after that show, and now every time I see her, it's like, maybe I should start working out too. She's always walking, hiking, working out, or like killing it with an acoustic version of something.
That's all she does. She hikes and kills things with acoustic versions. That's her two modes of operation.
Swirls.
Yeah. Well, did you see the video of her walking in the forest playing the guitar?
No. Really? Oh, okay.
She combines the two worlds.
We good? Okay, let's do another one here.
Yeah, we got time for one more.
Okay, again, I'm reading this blind. This comes from William. I made timestamps for episode 26 if you want to use them. They're in the comment section on YouTube. Just copy and paste it in the description box. Okay, this is Love You Mommies. I just caught up on all episodes. Okay, so he made timestamps for us. What does that
mean? Timestamps just means he put like, so people can know what we're talking about at certain times.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
They can click and jump on it, and he puts them in the comment sections. It's so people don't have to listen to all the boring stuff, and they can get to the funny stuff. So that means they can click on one or two links an episode.
Thank you.
Thanks,
William.
William, appreciate you. Appreciate
that.
Giving
okay.
people edit points.
This is coming to us from.
I wish life had that.
Fast forward.
Yeah, right, man? Could you just fast forward? Especially like travel. I wish, like.
Here.
Go.
Okay, well, beautiful.
Yeah, we got
plenty. This is coming to us from Alexa. Hey, mommies. I have kind of a serious dilemma.
Ooh, I love serious dilemmas.
My F-25. What does that mean?
I have kind of serious.
My friend?
Oh, female. She's female. My female, 25. She's 25 years old.
Okay. And my boyfriend, 27, are very much in love. He is perfect for me in almost every way. I just can't have him. I can't get him to have sex with me. For the first 3 months of our relationship, we were very intimate. But then the honeymoon phase passed, and we will go months at a time without having sex. This sounds about right. I hate feeling like I'm begging for it or like it's one-sided. He insists that he is attracted to me, but his actions say otherwise. I have had multiple talks with him, and it's like he doesn't care or doesn't listen. I don't want to break up with him. We've been together for 2 years, but a girl has needs. What can I do?
Sexy time in the bedroom issues. Okay, let's get into it. So intimacy is a huge part of a relationship, and you need to connect on that level. If you're not connecting on any level of a relationship, it needs to be addressed, right?
Yeah.
It seems here that she has tried to address it, and it's not being listened to. So you should use the same
You should use the same exact mentality you would when you were bringing up any issue in a relationship and it's not being addressed.
Yeah.
It means either the person doesn't care enough about it or it's not an issue to them. They don't understand the importance of it to you, or it's just something they're not willing to move on, and you're going to have to decide if you want to stay in this relationship or not, right?
Yeah.
So that's where I think we're at with that. It doesn't have to do anything about the, you know, the intimacy or, you know, the sexy times. I think it just has to do about you have a need in the relationship that's not being filled. So is this relationship right for you anymore? You've addressed it, right? She said she talked to him about it, and he's not willing to do the hokey pokey and turn himself around. So that's what it's all about. I think she needs to put her right foot out and just step out the door. And I think that's it. Right?
Fucking brilliant. I've never heard that. Because, I mean, the fact that you just bring this stuff in and then keep going and turn the right foot.
That's my instincts, mommy. That's what I say.
I'd say bang his best friend.
Or, you know, you're getting your needs filled that way.
Yeah.
That's it.
Here's what you could do. No Wi-Fi from 6 p.m. till midnight.
That's a good idea, too.
Then he doesn't have access to the porn.
That's right.
And he's going to get his rocks off.
He's going to get built up. Well, yeah. here's the thing, too, is like, is something distracting? You make a good point. Is something distracting him? To get serious for a second. Is something distracting him from the intimacy, or is there might be a underlying problem here that's not being addressed and it is showing itself with a lack of intimacy.
I guarantee he's jerking.
Chicken?
Well, so to speak. There are like numerous studies that have come out within the last, you know, few years.
Here we go. I love when you have stats. Go.
Where Asian talk.
You read a lot. You clearly read a lot more than me.
But they're basically saying that porn, the access to online porn is ruining the intimacy of so many relationships out there, the physicality, especially on the guy side. So there's a lot of guys jerking constantly to what they're seeing on the web, as opposed to, you know, refraining from it or limiting it or whatever. I know some of my friends that I've had multiple conversations with that have, named Steve, that that have like literally made it a mandate to be like, I've got to withdraw myself from that. Because it becomes almost like a go-to. It's like, you know, if you know, every time you go to the gas station, you're going to get a Dr. Pepper. It's like,
oh, I think you're going to say you're talking about the gas station, you're going to do something else. I'm like, Steve, you got to stop doing that at gas stations.
Yeah, in a men's stall. But yeah, it is an issue. So I think there are times where guys think, okay, if I'm going to, you know, be sexual, I'm going to get out my laptop and watch something and jerk off.
How does she... How do you think she addresses that with him? Does she just call him out on that and ask him what it is?
I think you just have a very constructive conversation about it. I think you sit down and go, look, you know, is this something that's going on or whatever? The good news on her behalf is that she's communicating. She's trying to say, hey, let's get to the bottom of this.
Right.
Because eventually, I mean, listen to some R&B songs. What's going to happen? She's got the itch, and it's going to get scratched, and it's you that's going to do the scratching, or she's going to find somebody else.
I can't blame her, because there ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. Ain't nothing wrong with it. If anything has been taught to us through R&B, it's ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
There ain't nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong with it.
Who would have an issue with that?
Somebody who's not into the bump and grind.
Yeah.
And that's on them. I feel like that's probably the advice that I would give. I think you just really need to... do your best to address it. And when somebody is not that you're in a relationship with isn't meeting you at a place that makes you happy in that relationship, you have to decide if it's right for you.
Especially it's been 2 years.
Yeah. This is right.
Yeah. The way she was, that it unpacked, it's like the first 3 months are great and then it's nothing. It's like, that kind of happens.
That happens. You slow down, of course. Of course you slow down.
And then you get a little complacent.
Right.
And then, you know, if it's been 2 years, that's not a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like we did some good there. I hope that helps.
Two mommy salute.
I hope that gets worked out for you as well, and that he's give you some.
Yeah. Hope you get what you need.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Oh yeah. What song is that? Yeah. Oh yeah.
What is it?
Where's Jiggy? Jiggy! Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about, dude.
You could do me in the morning. You could do me in the night. You could do me baked potato. Do me all. Yeah. Nah. It goes, oh, yeah. You know it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do me. Do me, baby. Baby. Oh, yeah. You know it.
Yeah.
Thank you. See, I'm not crazy.
Took a second, though. I love. I love in. Because I'm easy. Easy like Sunday morning.
Easy like Sunday morning.
There is this one part of the song.
I didn't know that was about plowing on the weekends until.
Wait, that's what it's about?
Isn't it?
No, it's just about taking it easy, isn't it?
Oh, no, I'm thinking about Kumbaya.
What?
I mean, if I could be in the studio for any moment of music, and I'll tell you what it is, and when I say it, you're going to 100% agree with me.
Yeah.
It's Michael Jackson when he starts going, Mama say, Mama say, Mama Musa.
Oh, dude, the best. What,
they must have been like, what is happening here? And they're like, well, okay, we're doing it.
The
and,
claps.
Right? Oh, it must have been insane to see that happen.
And no one knows what the fuck that is.
Yeah.
No one knows. He just says it.
Yeah.
Mama say, Mama say, Mama Musa.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
He is, my kids are obsessed with
you want to see the MJ show, yeah?
Saw it.
Yep.
And then we go down this rabbit hole watching YouTube videos and stuff.
Yeah.
And what I love about Michael Jackson, so many things, but when he is at the end of songs, you know, Elvis, thank you very much. Michael Jackson goes, thank you. I love you. I love you. And the end of his concert goes, I love you. I love you. And so now Ken, when he's going to bed, I go, okay, good night, Ken. He goes, I love you.
Oh, that's amazing. Like, oh, he's so awesome.
Funny.
He's
the best. I love you.
I can see him doing that.
But Michael Jackson, you ever see those videos where somebody's like kung fu fighting and they insert Michael Jackson noises into it? And you're, hee hee.
Oh, that's ow, hysterical.
Ooh, it's fucking
I got to see that.
Genius.
That's so smart.
Yeah, he takes all the little sound clips and puts them in kung fu fights.
That's so fun.
All right, you want to do one more? That's my favorite, though, like insert of like a vocal that vocal just mark. Is a bullshit thing. But
yeah,
BBD was my jam back in the day. Okay, where are we here?
I'm loving it.
Here we go. This is coming to us from Kylie.
Kylie's got a question for the mommies. Hi, Kylie.
Big fan of the show. Love y'all's work. Yada, yada, yada. All that ego stroking bullshit. On to my question. No, Kylie.
No.
More. We'll and see. I'm not going to take the question until you tell me how awesome I am.
We will wait.
You sorry, I just swore. Now you got to bleep.
Oh,
okay, here we go.
Got to cut out that whole thing.
Oh, no. Now I feel bad.
Start again.
Now I feel bad.
I'll cut it out. It'll never happen.
No. This is...
Now we're going to get into it. And, she's like, my dog has cancer. Right? Like, what? No, am I right? Something like that. Oh, is it heavy?
Okay.
Oh, no. Here we go.
I recently lost my mom.
Oh,
and I've been trying to find ways to stay positive while mourning her. I'm someone who typically deals with grief through humor. And my mom was, too. I know you lost both of your parents at a young age, Joe, and figured you might be able to give me some insight, some helpful insight. Steve, I'm sure you'll add some useful bullshit in there too.
She won you back.
I'm
Kylie.
Back, baby. Thanks for all the laughs. I love listening to y'all every week. Much love, mamas. Kylie.
Oh, Kylie, you're awesome.
I'm just sending you lots of love and good mojo.
Yeah. Let's spend some right time now. Telling Kylie about how awesome she is. Send her Kylie. Some love. We're not going to yada yada and give you all the praise bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
This is a very, very fun, very, very fun comment and question. I love the way that you phrase something heavy in a very fun way.
Yeah.
Much love to you. I know it's not easy. I
defer to you on this, my friend.
Because your parents are alive. Way to rub it in, asshole. I'll say. It's like, Joe, your parents are dead. I'll got to go.
Hold on. My mom's calling. Hey, Mom. I love you, too. Not now. I can talk to you anytime. How are you?
So I would say, grief and humor go hand in hand. Like you feel like, I feel like you already have figured out. I don't feel like I have to tell you anything, but as you know, I was one that I've always laughed with my mom and my dad about grief and death. And I've always found the humor in the moment and live life to your fullest. And people don't actually really die if they're alive in your heart and mind. And I really truly believe that. I celebrate my mom and dad every day of my life. I think about them every day. It's on you to keep them alive in spirit and just keep laughing, find ways to laugh, find reasons to laugh. And you know, the more that you talk about them, I feel like the more that people think the more you talk about them, the more that you'll miss them. I find it the opposite. I think the more that you talk about them, the closer you feel to them. I speak about my parents all the time and you know, that's
it.
I joke about them all the time. Yeah.
All the time.
What's the bullshit you have to end?
Well, I deal with grief and death every night after a performance. So if you want to see grief and death, come to my merch table. You'll see plenty. But honestly, Kylie, on behalf of both the moms, we're sending you a lot of love. Keep your head up. And, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you find some solace in the podcast as well. It's been damn fun getting to do this with Joe. And you hear this repeatedly, even when I'm going out and doing solo dates. I've been a part of 1, 2, 3 podcasts. And this is the one podcast that is actually been beneficial for in terms of like ticket sales or people coming up to me after shows or saying, I listen to you guys all the time. Yeah. It's been
a nice
really,
fandom we're building here,
really man. Nice. And so you hear personal stories from people and I really appreciate it. And just like you, Kylie, lots of love to you.
Yeah. Sorry, my mom's FaceTiming me.
Oh, God, Joe.
Yeah, Mom. Oh, sorry, it's Dad.
Oh, God.
We'll see you next week on Two Dead Moms.
These all chocolate right. mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.